Ready to go, okay. We're having entirely too much fun tonight, so just stop it. Just stop it and start frowning and get depressed and stop. We're having way too much fun. I'm Wendell. I'm living love by God. It's an adventure. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with pornography and with alcohol and with rage and depression and panic attacks. So I'm going to see if I can come up with some other things that I've done wrong. No, the list would be too long. It would be hard. We're on the last step. We've had a series of steps. We shrunk the 12 steps down to 8 to make them a little handier, a lot easier to deal with. We took several that were real similar and put them together. So, and we've had a lesson on all on the first 7 out of 8, and now this is the 8th step, and so we wind up with this one. And the metaphor, or the whatever you want to use for this series of lessons, is a dance. We've been using the idea of a dance, that health and wholeness, stepping into a healthier way of living, is actually God inviting us into a healthy dance with Him. It's not a tour of duty. A lot of people think when you get well, when you get this inner healing going on, then God wants to get you right back on the front lines and get you working hard, and you know it's a tour of duty, and you just better get with it, and you better be serious about this. You got a job to do, and so get with it. And we've discovered so many places in Scripture where God just wants to party. When the prodigal son came home, he offered the dad, he said, "I'll go work for you." And the dad said, "No, we're having a party. We're fixing to have a party." All through the Old Testament, if you'll read it, God literally had to command them to party. They worked, and he said, "No, every seventh day, take it off." And then sometimes we're going to take a whole year off, and we're going to have festivals for this, and we're going to have parties for that, and we're going to have get-togethers for this and that and the other. And God is this party animal that we've missed some way. We've made God this harsh, legalistic taskmaster who just makes life miserable. And really, he says, if you'll just come to me, we'll go have a party. We want a party. And really, as we've gone through these steps, the thing that hit me about this last one, let me read the last one. And I've changed the wording a little bit, but this would normally be step 12, but now it's step 8. Because we're walking these steps, we try to bring hope and healing to others in all our encounters. So that used to be, you know, spread the message, carry the message, that kind of thing. So we bring hope and healing to others in all our encounters. So if we're dancing with God, and remember how we talked about this dance with God, we invest ourselves in the dance, but He wants to dance with us more than we want to dance with Him. So when He wants to dance and makes a move, then we are vulnerable to that. So it goes back and forth. I'm investing in the dance, and God says, "Okay, I'll be vulnerable to you as you invest." And then God invests in the dance, and we become vulnerable to Him. It's taken us all these steps to kind of have this make sense. And if you're new tonight, you're like, "This doesn't make a lick of sense." But the whole time we've been going through these, it started to kind of make sense that there's this dance that we do with God. It's not that you have to get the dance right. It's not at all that you have to become a professional dancer. The only requirement is, do you want to dance? That's the only requirement. Do you want to dance? Do you want to step into the dance with God? A relationship, a personal relationship with God is what we're talking about. But we're calling it a dance. If you call it a personal relationship, somebody could say so easily, "Yeah, that's right. He's the boss. We're the employee. Let's go get to work. He's the sergeant. We're the private. Now let's go start throwing bullets," whatever. You see what I'm saying? So if you just say relationship, you can go all different ways with that. He's the teacher. We're the student. He's the judge. We're the criminal on trial. He's the policeman. We're the one getting arrested. He's the, you know, you can go all different ways with a relationship. That's why we've chosen this picture of a dance. Because in a dance, it's a mutual, you both move together. And a dance usually involves some sort of celebration and some sort of a festival and some sort of a party and some sort of intimacy. You see, The idea of dance brings so many good things with it. There's energy in it. So that's why we've been using this. So if we're learning to dance with God, this dance of grace, this dance of love, this dance of generosity, and we're learning to do this with God back and forth, we find ourselves in the dance being healed. The dance heals us. Dancing with God makes us healthy. Let that one sink in. Dancing with God makes us healthy. Not working on health, not praying for health, but dancing with God. That active relationship, that active dance with God is what makes us healthy. So as we go through this dance, we become healthy, and then we become infectious in the best way you can say it. If you think about it, we spread germs to each other, we also spread health to each other. Hurt people hurt people. Healthy people heal people. So when we live this step eight, because we're walking these steps, or put it this way, because we're dancing this dance, we could say it that way, because we're dancing this dance, we bring hope and healing to others in all our encounters. That means the little lady at the quick sack who has worked a long shift and has three or four kids at home and is discouraged and doesn't even know if she has enough gas to get home, that we can love on her when we buy that 2-liter. That means the person in the Walmart line. That means the person who's we see in the parking lot. That means everybody that we encounter, we can do that dance with them in some way or another, holding a door, giving an encouraging word, giving a smile. If you can, get them to tell you their story. Get them to start to share their story with you. So it's this dance that we do with other people that begins to introduce health into the world. And so I'm just calling it the infectious dance. You go out and dance with people and you infect them with health. So we've kind of established the idea that this is not a tour of duty. This is a dance. I wanted to say more about that, but I think that's all I'm going to say about that. We don't necessarily bring health and healing or hope and healing to somebody. It's the dance that we do with them that brings the hope and healing. If the dance we do with God is what heals us, it's the dance we do with other people. So if you... Here, let me give you a couple dollars. Let me just give you a couple dollars. See you later. I don't really want to know your name. I don't really want to know your story. I don't want to get too involved with you. But here's a couple dollars to hold you over. Or I'll give you a ride from here or there. But after that, I really don't want to have anything to do with you. That's not dancing with them. It may be kind of. But I think what we need to really hunker down and think about is, are we willing to spend the time to really dance with people, to really listen to their story, to really sit down over a cup of coffee? If the lady at the quick sack does have time, say, you know, would you like to get a cup of coffee after you're off work? And I would just like you to tell me your story. I mean, a guy probably doesn't want to do that to a girl because that probably sends the wrong signals. You know what I'm saying? In this day and time. But just to take time. I'm such a baby at this. I'm just now learning about this. But I've started going down to Hotel Inc. And I'm going on maybe 2 months now going down there. And there are a bunch of people down there who are homeless. And I don't know many of them. But I know one of them really well. His name's Ricky. And he lives in a culvert. And I've told you a little bit about him already. But I thought, this guy wants to tell me his story. It's been nice lately, so we're supposed to stay in the drop-in center, but he and I sneak out and sit on the tailgate of my truck and act like we're fixing his bicycle. After we get it fixed, we had to have another volunteer literally to ask us to move so she could leave and go home because we were so involved in our conversation. But I thought, okay, now he's teaching me what it means to dance with somebody who I never knew several weeks ago. I know where he came from. I know about his mom. I know about his upbringing. I know it because he's told me, and I've shared some of mine with him. And now when he sees me coming, he like flags me down, you know. Can we do something today? Can we talk? Can we? And I think, I never knew how to do that before. I never knew anything about that. And so I'm learning as I go. So that's what I'm talking about. When we do this infectious dance, it could be just offering a couple dollars. It could be just offering a ride. It could be just a smile. That's all I ever used to really think is about that far. But now I'm discovering, oh no, this dance can get way cooler. Ricky's teaching me that. This dance can get way cooler than I ever imagined it could be. So I've come up with some words that I don't know if they'll be helpful to you or not, but they're helpful to me. So this is what the dance, I'm going to use these words to kind of describe what I've discovered about this dance with people. Because we're walking these steps, we try to bring hope and healing to others in all our encounters. Call that a dance, and what does it look like? The first thing I would say is three things here. What time we got? Yeah, we got plenty of time. First thing is this. It's engagement and presence, not information and presentations. Back in my religious days, organized religious days, I love Jesus. I'm just not very religious these days. But back in my religious days, I thought I need to give them information. They need information. They need the four spiritual laws. They need some sort of steps toward salvation. They need to know what church they need to go to. They need to know that they need to stop doing these things and start doing these things. They need me to tell them information that will help them be better human beings. Because I know all it is to be a good human being and they don't. Ha! Ha! Took me a little while in recovery to realize I had that completely backwards. Vicky's gagging. Ah! Not true. But that's what I used to think. It's up to me to give them pertinent information. And if I want to make it really good, I need to make my presentation slick, like a salesman. I need to make it slick and catchy and trendy and clever so that they'll like it. So that it'll, you know, it's like you put a little piece of, little bit of chocolate around a sour pill and the kid will swallow it easier. Well, I'll put some chocolate on it and make it to where you'll swallow it. And, you know, I'm going to get you to see things my way. So it used to be that I thought it was information presented in just the right way. But I realized it's engagement and presence. Am I willing to be there with that person? That person, there was one guy down there at Hotel Inc. I'm not going to say his name or anything, but he was very agitated and he was angry. He was bigger than me, and he was younger than me. And he saw me as some sort of threat, and he got like this close. And he was just red and kind of raging at me. And some of the other volunteers were like, you know, let's bring this down a notch. And I wanted to say, no, let him say what he needs to say to me. Let him, if he wants to hit me, that's okay. I think I could, you know, deflect it a little bit. I hope we don't have to wrestle because I might beat him. No, I didn't say that. I got some wrestling moves. But they were trying to defuse him, and I was thinking, no, let him say what he needs to say to me. He found me to be a person who he could, you know, let off some anger at. And so when you engage somebody, you engage them where they are. You take them right where they are. I mean, you don't want to let somebody shoot you or stab you. I mean, you know. But I'm not saying that. But you don't want to let somebody abuse you. But we're always wanting to put somebody in a better mood. Your mood is not at all desirable to me. I'm going to change your mood. And then we can talk. You know? If it got you right, that's what we want to do. And we've got to let them be who they are and where they are right then. Whatever, if they're panicked or whatever, let them be panicked. If they're angry, let them be angry. If they're whatever, let them be who they are and engage them right where they are and don't try to change them. Simply say, I'm invested in you right here where you are, and I'm not going to leave you. What did Jesus say before he said, I will never leave you or forsake you? And the church, the organized religion, has been so weak at never leaving or forsaking people. When it gets uncomfortable, they bail. And if somebody is bleeding out, that's when they need us. And sometimes they don't need us to stop the bleeding. They need us just to sit there with them while they're bleeding out. Just to be present with them in that moment of panic or anger or whatever it is. They need us to be there. And all 25 years of ministry prior to getting into this, I always wanted to change their mood or their way of thinking with new information presented in a nice, slick way. And now, this is about engagement and presence. To truly be present with that person and engage that person right where they're at. So if we got that one, let's move into the second one, which is kind of the same thing. Well, no, it's a little different. Am I willing to really invest myself in that other person? When I was doing the religious thing, the kind of toxic religious thing, my idea was like Hitler's World War II thing, the Blitzkrieg. I don't know if anybody's a student of history at all, but the idea was to hit them fast and hit them hard, hit them with everything you've got, and roll over them and make your invasion so swift and so strong there's no resisting it. And now you've got them in a vulnerable position where you can get them to do anything you want them to do. So my idea was to invade their life. I'm here. I'm going to save the day. I'm going to change your life to the better. You know, kind of like a bull in a china closet. Just high speed, full speed ahead. So it was more of an invasion than an investment. And it's interesting that Jesus, who has made the biggest difference in the world, he made the biggest investment on this planet that anybody's ever made, talked about salt and light and leaven. Not fireworks, not parades. But he talked about these subtle, slow, you know. They make a huge difference, salt in food, leaven in a lump of dough. They make a huge difference, but they do it in a very subtle and a very slow way. And so, if you're aiming for quick results that are going to make you happy, like you can say, well, I really did that. Look how good I am. I showed up. I invaded their life with truth. I gave it to them in a way they couldn't resist. And now they're better. And I'm the bomb, you know. Really? Instead, to show small acts of patience and love and just sit and just be present and invest yourself over time and listen and then listen some more and then listen some more and just listen to what they have to say and just be there. Salt and light and leaven. That's what Jesus talked about. Little subtle investments that make an enormous impact on people's lives. So we engage and we're a presence and we invest. And here's the other thing that I'm trying to learn. Wayne's not here tonight. He's worn out. He's had a rough week. But Wayne and I talk about this a lot, about the idea, because we're the old guys on staff here. We've got like 30-some people on staff here at Broadway, and we're the two old guys. We're the antiques. And so we invest ourselves in people a lot, but we also invest ourselves in the staff because they're our kids' age. So we kind of do that. But what we're realizing is that the best way to invest yourself with people and the best way to be present with somebody is to be very vulnerable, is to be real. Because if you're helping somebody, they tend to make a hero out of you. If they're starving, hungry, and you bring them a meal, you're their hero. You know, if they're lonely and you become their friend, you're their hero. And they tend to, and all of a sudden, there tends to become this separation. I'm the needy one, you're the giving one. I'm the person who doesn't know anything, you know everything. And I think it's really important when we invest ourselves in people is to let them know, I don't know everything. I wake up in the middle of the night panicked. I fight depression. I have periods where my anger is out of control. You don't make that stuff up. Well, you don't have to because it's real. It's who you are as a human. But for if you're going to really invest yourself in somebody, never, ever, and I'm saying this to myself, and if you want to listen, you can. Never, ever see yourself up here and them down here. I need to pull you up to my position. You're here with them. Not by choice, but by necessity. You battle all the same demons they battle. You struggle with all the same things they struggle. And so what you're doing is not saying, here, let me give you expert advice. You're saying, here's an arm. Can we link arms and walk through this together? Because I battle the same stuff you battle. I struggle with the same stuff you struggle with. I think what I love about what we do here at Pathway is all those years of ministry, I had to keep my cards to my chest. Everything I learned in school said, don't let them see you sweat. And I got in ministry and I realized most church people don't want to hear when you're weak or worried as a pastor. They don't want to know that. This is the first place I've come where I can tell you I'm depressed. I'm down. I'm worried. I'm having a hard time. And you're not put off by that. But instead, you just say, welcome to the club. we're all in this together. But this is the way we should be doing church in the world. Everybody should. I'm not the pastor here. We're all the pastors here. Every single one of us. I'm not the pastor. Well, yeah, I'm a pastor. But so are you all. We're all pastors to each other. And we're all on the same level. There's nobody above anybody else. We're all struggling with this stuff together. And so if you want to really bring hope and healing to other people, it's extremely important to be vulnerable and real and authentic with them and say, yeah, I know what that is, and it's not because I read it in a book. It's because I faced that just last week, or I went through that several years ago or whatever. It's just not everywhere where you can come and be like that. And here you can. Just for fun, there's another place you can do that too, and that's every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We have a thing called The Gathering here, and you can be that honest there too. Donna was there. Robbie was there. I'm trying to see who else was there this morning. But we gather in the choir. Well, we're going to be back here in the cup. No, we're going to be in the choir room next week. But you can come be just as real as you are right here. What I'm tickled with is that we have a church here who says we want to provide places for people to come and be as real as you need to be. So I'm glad that we have this place here tonight. But we don't. It doesn't. This kind of realness, this kind of health doesn't have to stay here. It can go out. It's not fair for me to say. This is just my opinion, okay? That's all it is. It's my opinion. I think we all need a Ricky. I wouldn't have known that until I found a Ricky. And I was scared to death to go to Hotel Inc., not because I thought they were going to do something bad to me. I was afraid I was going to do something bad to them. I was afraid I was going to say something stupid and hurt their feelings or whatever. But I get down there, and now I'm sitting at the feet of an African-American man who has grown up one of the hardest lives I've ever known and lives in a culvert, and I'm sitting at his feet and learning what it means to be a decent human being. We all need a Ricky. I really do. I really do think we do. That's just my opinion. I don't want to tell you you've got to go out and find one. But wouldn't it be cool if we all had somebody to do this dance with that we never We never saw it coming. We just meet them, and all of a sudden we know, okay, you're my new dance partner. We're going to see where this goes. I don't know. We'll see. All right, let's do a song. It's all yours, Loretta.